Welcome to episode 16 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, I will be talking with Alistair, an amazing coach from my team, all about how to translate confío en él, why trust is not confidence, the difference between confidence and arrogance, what preposition to use with the verb trust, a story about trust on a Greek island, and some great listener feedback. This podcast is aimed at helping you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone. Today we're going to talk about something that is very interesting and actually is quite a common mistake for Spanish speakers. So hopefully it will be helpful for all of you. And it all has to do with the word confianza, right? Now, the mistakes often come because of a translation issue. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And in particular, how we would translate confío en él. Okay, confío en él. And as usual, Alistair is here to talk about this issue. Hi, Alistair.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And you? How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks.
Great, great. So yes, confío en él. And this is a kind of a mistake. It can be a mistake because it can sometimes be translated to confidence, right? Mm-hmm. And that can be a problem.
I think because confiar or confianza sounds very similar to confidence.
That's right.
So it's a word that people go to immediately, no? So they say, in that sense, they probably say, I have confidence in him.
That's right.
Or the opposite, negative, I don't have confidence in him. Mm-hmm. And this is a misuse of the word confidence. You wouldn't use it in English in that way, no?
Exactly right, yeah.
So, I mean, confidence, how would you define or what's your idea what it means, confidence, or to have confidence in someone?
Yes. I mean, here, what we discussed before we started recording is essentially that the idea of confidence is often related to your self-confidence, right? It's kind of more related to how you feel about yourself. Mm. And certainly in English, that's what the word is more connected to. So you might feel that you have a lot of confidence when you are speaking in front of an audience, or you might feel that you don't have much confidence, or there can be a whole range of situations where you can feel confident because it's a feeling inside you, right? But it's not necessarily related to another person. So we're talking about self-confidence there, which is kind of autoestima, right?
Mm-hmm. Autoconfianza, autoestima.
Exactly.
So you have confidence in your own abilities or skills to be able to do something, whether that's speaking another language. Obviously, if you're very confident speaking English, you feel that you have a high level of English, you're very fluent. And so you're not embarrassed or worried about speaking English in like a business meeting or giving a presentation because you're very confident. You feel confidence in your own abilities, no?
Exactly.
Just in that example, or it could be in a sport, your ability to play a sport. I mean, somebody like Cristiano Ronaldo is famous for having extreme self-confidence. Mm-hmm. Or you could say any sports person at the top of top level, Rafa Nadal in tennis or anyone that you have to be very self-confident. You have to believe in yourself and your abilities that you are the best or one of the best, or you're unlikely to succeed, no?
Absolutely.
And sometimes with Cristiano, for example, people can accuse him of being arrogant. Mm-hmm. So very often there could be a very thin line between having a lot of self-confidence, being extremely confident. And if you cross that line, you could come across, phrasal verb, I mean, you could appear to other people to be arrogant. But often it's not necessarily arrogance. It's just a supreme belief in yourself and your own abilities to, in his case, play football very well and score goals. So he's confident when he steps out on that football pitch that he's going to be the best player on the pitch and he will win the game. Mm-hmm. He'll score 3 goals.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you say that, you know, I'm the best and I'm going, people can perceive that as being arrogant.
Exactly. Exactly.
But it's just extreme self-confidence. So he's a very self-confident person. because he's very good and he knows he's very good.
Exactly, exactly. So yeah, that's the kind of connection that we have, right? Between that idea of, well, we have that word in Spanish, confianza, and we have that danger of going to confidence, but that actually can, we have to be a little bit careful there, okay? And in if we wanted to translate confío en él, then we'd actually have to go more to the word trust, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's a really important kind of thing to get into your mind, that you have to say that particular word, you have to use that particular word. So the actual translation there would be, I trust him, I trust her, I trust them, et cetera, right? Yeah. Or I don't, you can put it in the negative, or do you trust them, et cetera, right?
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't trust him.
Yeah.
So for example, I think most people who like football and know something about it would trust Cristiano to score a goal to win a game. So mm-hmm. I trust him. He's going to win this match for us because mm-hmm. you know he's very good and he scores goals very often. Mm-hmm. So you would trust him to score the winning goal in the last minute or a hat trick.
Sure.
But obviously if it was another player that you don't think is that good, you wouldn't trust them to score in the game. You say, oh, he's not very good, I don't trust him.
Yeah.
So yeah, you trust in another person.
Yes. And that's kind of like with something that we kind of can mention maybe a little bit later on, whether, you know, trust is mostly kind of connected to the idea of body, right? You trust somebody rather than something. But, you know, we can talk about that also at a later stage. But what we want to focus on now is how you potentially, what type of prepositions you would use with trust. And I think this is also quite important because there is a temptation, because you have this sentence in Spanish, which is confío en él, right? Confío mm-hmm. en él. There's a temptation to translate that across as well and to use trust in, okay? And this is something that we wanted to highlight because it's not a clear-cut situation, right? It's not particularly like a black and white.
Well, it's not a mistake. I mean,
no.
The problem is that our clients or Spanish speakers tend to, well, first of all, if they, the first mistake is the one of I have confidence in him, which is not correct. And then some people use the word trust. You go, oh, that's great. You're using the word trust. This is the correct word.
Yeah.
So that's positive, no? Because you don't often hear students or clients using the word trust. But then they say, I trust in him. Now, the thing is, it's not a mistake. It's not wrong. And you can say, I trust in someone or trust in something.
Yeah.
So it's possible. But we were talking about this between ourselves. So when would we say trust in or not? And we weren't even quite sure ourselves. Is there a difference? Would you use one or the other in a different situation? Mm. And we didn't really reach any conclusions on that. We just say what we're confident that most of the time it's more natural for a native speaker not to use the preposition. We do occasionally, but usually just say, yeah, I trust him, I trust her, or exactly. I don't trust him.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't use the in. So it is optional and it's not a mistake, but we feel that it's much more natural and more common that 80, 90% of the time a native speaker wouldn't use the preposition to say, do you trust him? No, I don't. Or yes, I do.
Yeah. Exactly right.
It was
yeah.
The conclusion we came to.
Yeah, it was. It was the conclusion, yeah. And it's maybe difficult for Spanish speakers to remove that in because it comes so naturally, right? It's like okay, I'm maybe not thinking completely in Spanish, but I'm certainly still have some sort of translation process going on in your mind. And mm-hmm. just naturally the in will be there for you. But overall, as kind of Alistair mentioned there, I think sort of 80, 90% of the time is probably better to not have that preposition there and just say, to trust someone, to trust him.
Yeah, it feels more natural just to say, I don't trust this guy or I trust him.
Yeah.
Or do you trust me? You say to somebody, no.
Exactly.
I think that's more usual. And we were trying to think if there's any specific reason. We're even looking up in the internet, the difference, trust in, and we couldn't find, so far at least, we haven't found any definitive to, you know, is there a difference between trust in or just trust? Doesn't seem to be. It seems to be basically the same. But there are some expressions where when it's something, say, more profound or more poetic, you say, trust in God. Mm-hmm. We found that expression.
Trust in God.
And that sounds very natural to say trust in God.
Yeah.
As opposed to just trusting your colleague at work.
No? That's so, right.
Yeah, you can trust this guy. He's very good. He knows what he's talking about. Trust him.
Yeah.
But maybe you would say, trusting God. So maybe we think, but we're not sure, that the trust in sounds is very particular for something. You want to sound it more profound or more, give it more importance, perhaps.
Yes.
But yeah, that is not a definitive answer. So what we're saying is, in most of the use of trust in your everyday life, business life and personal life, you don't need to say in.
That's right. Yeah.
Just say you trust someone or you don't. And the trust in is maybe more specific expressions that you will read it, you will hear it, but it's not very common.
Yeah. And there's probably, like you mentioned, the whole idea of something maybe being more poetic, but also I think we also discussed the idea that our listeners might hear it in songs as well, right? There are a few songs, quite famous songs, where they actually say something like "trust in me," for example. And of course, those are particular contexts where the writer of that song has decided that's the phrase they want to use.
Yeah, absolutely. Because maybe it does sound more poetic, more beautiful, or maybe it just fits the music better. Sure. They just need an extra word to fit in with the rhythm of the music. No.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's purely for that reason, not necessarily because there's any difference in meaning. But it is true. I think we actually did read in internet someone commenting that it's very often trust in is used in lyrics, in song lyrics.
Yes, exactly.
Is there a reason for that? We're not sure, but it is true.
Yeah.
And it could be the idea it sounds a bit deeper, more profound, more poetic. That could be the reason, but we don't really have a definitive answer on that yet, at least.
Yeah.
We're still looking.
Yeah. And so, that's our overall advice. If you can remove that in, then best to do it. We also came across another type of expression that you sometimes say in English, which is "trust me on this." Okay. Trust me on this. You know, this is kind of like a situation where you want to convince somebody that you kind of know what you're doing, that you have, you feel as if you have got everything under control, that you're believe you. No, right? So, and that the full sentence there would be, "trust me on this, I've got it under control," or whatever it might be.
Right? It's like saying, "believe me, I'm right, I know."
Yeah. Exactly.
So if you've got some argument, maybe about some fact, could be anything, no? And it could just be like, what's the capital of Rwanda? So he says, "oh, it's," I don't know what the capital is, so I'm not going to say it, but they say, "it's," and the other person is like, "I'm not. Are you sure?" Yeah, I'm sure. Trust me on this.
Trust me on this.
So it's like, "believe me, I know the answer. I'm right." And then the other person, if they don't know, they say, "okay, I trust you. If you say you know, I'll trust you because I don't know."
Yeah.
It's like to be sure about, very sure about something. No? Trust me on this. I'm right. Believe me.
Yeah. So, those are the kind of situations there. Basically, you know, a verb that is important to remember, trust, and then also how that verb interacts with different types of prepositions and what your general strategy should be there. But at the same time, we also kind of wanted to give the listeners a little story. And Alistair certainly has come up with a nice one with regard to trust. So maybe you could tell us about that, Alistair.
Yeah, this suddenly came to me from nowhere in our conversation preparing this episode. And this is a long time ago. So I think it was 1983, so almost 40 years ago, showing my age here again. I was a student, 19 or 20, 20, I think. And I hitchhiked with a friend from Liverpool to Athens in Greece. And then we took a ferry and we traveled between some islands, Santorini, Ios and Paros. And on the island, I think it was Paros, we were sleeping on the beach. So it was in sort of backpacker, mochilero, as they say in Spanish, backpacking, sleeping on the beach, trying to do this holidays cheap. And hitchhiking, I mentioned, is autostop. So everything in as cheap as possible. So we were sleeping on the beach, fantastic holiday, trying to spend as least money as possible. And basically, I was having such a good time and enjoying myself, and I didn't want to go home. I didn't have a lot of money, but I needed to keep some to at least get the ferry back to Athens and then hitchhike and then eat some food. So I had to have some money. But stupidly, I spent all my money and I ended up on this island with no money, that I couldn't catch the ferry back to Piraeus, the port of Athens. And there was a Dutch guy who was sort of in the group of people on the beach, and he played the guitar. So he was always there playing his guitar and singing, a bit of a hippie. And he was older than the rest of us. We were all students around between 19, 21. This guy was probably, I don't know, late 20s or maybe 30. And anyway, I was telling him this, I spent all my money and I can't get home. And this guy, who hardly knew me at all, he'd known me for a few days, maybe a week, And he said, oh, don't worry, I have money. I'll lend you some money for you to get home. I was like, really? Are you sure? You don't know me. He said, oh, don't worry. I trust you. I trust you to pay me back. So really? Oh, well, okay. Thank you very much. What can I say? So he lent me some money. Now, this is where it gets really stupid. Being an idiot of 20 years old, as I said, I was enjoying myself so much. I think there was like a party the next day on the beach or something. And I said, well, I'll just stay one more day just for the party and then I'll go. Of course, I ended up staying another 2 or 3 days and spending all the money he'd lent me. So imagine the embarrassment when this guy saw me, said, Ali, what are you doing? Why are you still here? I thought you'd left 3 days ago. I was like, well, you know, that money you lent me, I spent it all and I've got no more money again. And now the guy could have got really angry and said, you're an idiot and that's it. But he said, oh, okay, I'll lend you some more. So the guy, he was amazing. You could say maybe he was a bit stupid, but he trusted me sufficiently to lend me more money. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, when you get home, here's my address. When you get home, you can just send me the money. I trust you to pay it back. You seem like a trustworthy person. So mm-hmm. the noun of trust is trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, thank you very much. Well, what can I say? So this time, obviously, I wasn't going to repeat the same mistake. I did leave the next morning, took the ferry, and I hitchhiked all the way back to home, to Liverpool. And a few days later, I sent in the money, and obviously then there was no method of, you know, transferring through your mobile phone, or I literally put cash in an envelope and sent it to him to the address, and I never heard from him again. So right. I never saw this man again in my life, but I always remember, well, I completely forgotten about this till we started talking about, and do you have an anecdote about trust? And it suddenly came back to me. So this lovely, amazing man trusted me twice. I wouldn't have trusted me the second time, or maybe not even the first time. So I'm not sure I'd trust somebody sufficiently who I'd just met on a beach in Greece to give them cash and expect them to send it back to me.
Yeah.
And he did it twice. So there you go. Yeah. So thankfully, I am a trustworthy person, and he was right to trust in me. Trust in me, I just said.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Yeah.
That wasn't deliberate. That just came out. So sometimes we do use the preposition in. Just we're not quite sure why. I think it's just a subconscious thing.
It is. I mean, I was kind of listening to you very carefully there as you explained that whole really nice story. And I think it's a kind of a good example of that situation of whether you put a preposition or not, because you obviously used trust as many, many times during that story. Mm-hmm. And pretty much 95% of the time you didn't use the preposition, right? You didn't use in.
Yeah, the last only right one, at the end.
The very last one, then you put in. And I think that's a good representation of like
the proportion.
Yeah.
90% you wouldn't use it, but then very occasionally we do. But we're not quite sure why.
Yeah.
And maybe it's to emphasize the trust, maybe. The aspect, the profundity, the depth. Yes. As we said before, like trusting God.
Yes.
In this case, like, it was amazing that this guy could trust in me so much to lend me money twice. Sort of giving more emphasis to the level of trust.
But potentially,
we don't really know if that's the answer. That's just, we're speculating.
Speculating, absolutely. Yeah, so thank you very much, Alistair. That's a really great story and really good use of trust and showed us just how to use it. And also, obviously, picking up on that trustworthy element as well, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, absolutely. Good, fantastic. So I hope that clears things up for the moment. Let's just go move on to a little bit of listener feedback, because we've had a few comments from different people, right?
Emails.
I think the first one that we wanted to highlight was from Betty. Is that right?
Betty, yes. Who continuing with what we've spoken about in a couple of previous episodes was when you begin your introduction to the podcast with without further ado.
Yeah.
And somebody brought this up saying, what's the word at the end? Because they couldn't catch I didn't catch that. Mm-hmm. Coming back to another expression we've used recently.
Yeah.
They didn't catch the ado. And we explained what it meant. And then we asked listeners, maybe we're not sure in Spanish how you say that. So could people give us suggestions? So we had a few in a previous episode. And this latest one is sin más demora.
Yeah, sin más demora. Yeah.
So I think demora is another word meaning like retraso, delay.
Yes, exactly. That's right.
Further delay or...
Yes.
And so it's another good example. So we've had a few, there are several, two or three different ways you could say, without further ado.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was the previous one? Sin más preámbulos.
Yes.
It was a previous suggestion from
absolutely.
Listener.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Then, yes, there was another email from Cheryl, right?
Cheryl,
talking specifically about a previous episode where we were talking about everything to do with phone calls and if you have problems on the phone and kind of what to say. And we came up with that point with a number of different options, but Cheryl came up with some further ones, right?
Some good ones that we didn't think of or we didn't mention. Mm. All of them perfectly valid. She suggested maybe these are more American, which is why we didn't think of them.
Mm.
But I wouldn't say any of these would. Well, I'll read them first and you can say if you think they're particularly American. I don't think so.
Mm.
So she said, how about, sorry, we have a bad connection.
Mm-hmm. No, that's absolutely fine. Yeah.
Your voice is breaking up. So he talked about cutting out.
Yes.
But your voice is breaking up. Again, I don't think it's particularly American.
Very
British
nice.
People would also say that. Very
yeah,
nice. We have some interference or interference on the line.
Yeah,
Again,
yeah,
something we could say. And the final one, I called, but your line was busy.
Was busy, yeah.
Now, we talked about engaged. Now, I'm not sure if engaged might be a particularly British expression. I don't know if Americans use engaged. Maybe they would be more likely to say the line was busy.
I can imagine.
So there is a possibility
that
there is a difference, but generally you could use all those expressions and the ones we mentioned.
Yeah.
So yeah, well done, Cheryl. Some excellent suggestions there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that kind of just gives a great opportunity for me to say that, you know, like it's always fantastic to hear from our listeners. And if you do want to send anything in, then please do feel free to do so, because it's fantastic to get ideas from you to help you in any way. And if those types of ideas often help us be more creative in kind of thinking about.
We trust our listeners.
Absolutely.
To send in, you know, very useful suggestions or alternatives to the things that we offer, we say, because we don't think of everything, as you can see. So if anyone has any other ideas or options, then feel free to, or just comments on feedback in general. No?
Yeah. Absolutely. Really fantastic to hear from our listeners. No doubt about that. So let's just do a quick summary of what we've talked about today. Obviously, we focused all on the idea of the confianza and how you would translate confianza, in particular, confío en él, and how you should avoid the word confidence. Try to understand exactly when you would use confidence. That's important, because that's important for a different context. And then focus more towards the idea of the word trust. Get that clearly in your mind as that being the right word in terms of that particular translation. Then, of course, you have all of the issues in terms of what preposition might you use with the word trust. Would it be in? Would you use it without any preposition at all? And overall, our recommendation there is 98% of the time you should probably just use trust without that particular preposition, because it just sounds better. It's a bit easier. Obviously, at the same time, you have to be kind of clear in your mind, because you will always be tempted to put that preposition in because of the Spanish construction of that phrase. But overall, better to not use that preposition if you can. Okay, so just trust someone, trust him, trust her, etc., etc.
I think is the best. That's what we recommend.
Absolutely.
And you
Absolutely.
Sound more authentic, like a native speaker.
Yes, I think so. I think there's always that slight danger. If you use trust in specific situations, then some people might think, oh, that's not quite the right way to use it, you know, but it's a little bit easier and more, well, I wouldn't say easier, but it's you're going to sound more convincing, more native if you avoid that preposition. Yes, I would say overall.
And as you said, in the anecdote I told spontaneously and naturally, it didn't occur to me to use the in until the very last sentence.
That's right.
Now, why that is, I don't really know. So I wasn't consciously making a decision to change and use the preposition. It just came out naturally.
Yeah.
And then immediately, as soon as I said it, it was like, oh, I used in.
Yeah.
Obviously, native speakers would not realize. They wouldn't notice if they're using it or not. Unlike us, obviously, because we're talking about this subject.
Mm.
But 90% of the time, they wouldn't use in. This is the point that we're trying to make, no?
Yeah, exactly
so
right.
So if you say it all the time, trust in, it would sound slightly strange.
Yes.
Or unusual.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Fantastic. Alistair, so I think that's it for this week. So as usual, thank you very much. It was super enjoyable to discuss this issue with you.
No, my pleasure. Thanks.
And we'll see each other again next week.
Okay. Cheers. Bye.
All right. See you then. Bye-bye.
So there you go. I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. If you have any feedback or just want to get in touch with us for any particular reason, you can do that through our email address, which is coach@danielsmith.es. And just send us a quick email and we'd love to hear from you. All your feedback is very, very welcome. And for now, thank you very much and I hope to see you again next week.